Every Christian is a product. The product of some other Christian's witness. We are Christians because some other Christian has exposed us to the gospel. Through preaching, teaching, person to person, or however it has been. Christianity is person to person, generation to generation. Now think of those early Christians passing on the truth of the gospel. The men who wrote the hymns that we sung about this morning. People of the Reformation. The people in the beginning of our nation. Through the history of our country and to today. Everyone here naming the name of Christ does so because someone talked, shared, witnessed the gospel in some way. So this morning we think about our witness. We're going to look at a passage of scripture that speaks of that. Would you please turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Peter 3:13. Reading 1 Peter 3:13, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now in chapter 15, we come to that subject of evangelism, of witness, of sharing the gospel. Our witness and our testimony. Our testimony is vital. This is an essential truth for us to think about this morning. The most important thing about us as we live here is our worship of the Lord and our testimony. And we just think of how people have lived in the past and how this generation we live in has come to know the gospel because of that witness. Our testimony is absolutely vital. This is what Peter is talking about. The most important thing. And when I was thinking about this yesterday morning, I said to my wife, "I thank you for your testimony to me. For the faithfulness, for the fact that I see Christ in her life. I thank her for that." It made me think of, do people respect me for my testimony? What do people think of me? What is coming out of my life as people view my life? Peter is saying that we should be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that has been placed in us. Why should we be ready? That's the question. Why be ready? Why do I preach the Bible Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? What's the purpose of that? That we might be enriched in the Word of God, ready to meet life as it is. And Peter is writing to people under severe persecution, heavy trials, scattered, family separated. We need, first of all, to be ready by being enriched in the Word After all, what is witness? Witness is the Word of God flowing through our life. Witness is the overflow of our own personal life with the Lord. And so we need to be enriched in the Word to face life today, and for parents to be able to teach young people what is going on in the world today. So, first of all, it's being established in the Word. Secondly, we are ready by understanding that this is our calling. We have a purpose in being here, and it's a strange thing. When God saves us, we become citizens of heaven. And the Bible teaches us that we are pilgrims here, and we're just passing through, and that this is very temporary. We are citizens of heaven, but God left us here. And a part of that purpose is our calling in sharing this gospel and making it known and bearing witness that Christ is Lord and Savior, our calling. Now, thirdly, it means being ready by caring that unbelievers are lost and that eternal destiny is a fact. And we overlook that most of the days of our life and just go our merry way. Every unbeliever is lost. And Jesus said more about hell than he said about heaven. And he spoke of it as fire, the lake of fire. Now, that's probably a symbolic term, but it means eternal desperation and suffering forever and ever and ever. Do we care enough that unbeliever we're rubbing shoulders with is lost? Do we care enough to bear witness for the hope that is in us? Friday, I had the opportunity to have a funeral service for the wife of a man whom I knew through playing golf. I played golf with a regular group, about 20 men, and one of them, the leader, was a boisterous, kind of aggressive, smart-aleck guy who liked to tease a lot. Well, his wife died of cancer. Lo and behold, John called me about it to do the service, which surprised me because never gave much indication that he cared much about me being a preacher. He enjoyed the golf. But anyway, I had the service, and most of those golfers were there. So I suppose we had 250 people there, and in the percentage of that, you'd have to say very few were Christians. And what am I going to do? How can I bear witness? Well, I preached from John 14 about heaven, but it also brought home the alternative of being lost in hell. And so I had an opportunity to witness to a lot of people on Friday that unbelievers are lost and that heaven is a very desirable place to be. Now, as we think about witness evangelism, most of the time people want to bear witness that they were on an airplane or in a bus, or that they go out on purpose to witness. And we think of a Christian memorizing a recipe of four laws or being able to go through some mechanical sort of technique. That is not what we're talking about this morning. The witness, the testimony is not being able to answer every question. Christians are basically afraid to witness. We are intimidated because we don't think we can answer every question. We don't have to. The unbeliever should be the one who is intimidated because we have the message. We have the truth. We have the power of God's word. It is not in techniques. It is not in answering every question. It is not in believing that we have to go and grab every unbeliever on the shoulder and say, "Are you saved?" That is not what this passage is speaking of. It is not being able to come back to church and report the spiritual scalps we've taken during the week. It's not that. What is it? It's to give a reason for the hope that has been placed in us. Now notice the word give. Witnessing is giving. Witnessing is sharing about the hope that is placed in us. And we have great opportunity today because most of the world is hopeless. Some of them don't realize it, some of them do, to be hopeless. And the more our nation plunges into moral insanity, in disruption in foreign policy, the more hopeless people become. So being ready to give an answer, first of all, is by being enriched in the Word of God, by knowing it is our calling, and by really believing and being convinced that our relatives, our neighbors, our friends, the world we live in, that without Christ they are plunged into an eternal hell. The horrible eternal existence. Now, fourthly, it means that we believe that God Almighty is sovereign over our trials. To get specifically accurate about the purpose of this passage, Peter is telling these people what to do in the midst of persecution. And that is to give a reason to the people around you for the hope that is in you. Our greatest opportunity for witness is through our trials, through our persecution, through our suffering, through our difficult times, through our conflicts, through our tribulation, and through our trials. And what are we to bear witness about? That God is sovereign over our trials. And what do we say to people? We say to them that this is not out of God's control, and that God has a good purpose in my tragedy, in my catastrophe, in the problem I have. He is committed to me. This is not something he's putting on me in terms of punishment. He's committed to me, to his own glory and to my good. And I understand that. And I pray that I will trust him. That is my witness. And that's the loudest witness we can give. This is to unbelievers. And it doesn't take memorizing a recipe. It's just an honest response to the heart that in this trial, I have hope. That hope has been placed in me. by God's sovereign grace. It's real, it's true, it's powerful, it keeps me. My faith is in Him. And what a testimony Ray gave this morning reminded me of the words of our Lord as He taught the disciples about the truth of the gospel. And Peter said, many left Him at that point. And the Lord said, will you also go away? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. So we have a message, and we have a reason, and we can give an answer that's just sincere out of the heart, the message to unbelievers. That's one area of witness. In my heart, I am convinced that a more important area of witness is to believers. How we live together, how we bear witness and testimony to each other in the church strengthens the church to go out into society. If we weaken each other, then we don't have a testimony to the world. And what are we saying to fellow believers in terms of persecution and trial and tribulation? We are saying to them by our testimony that God will also be with them, because they are going to have trials. They're going to have persecution. That's what this life is about. The Christian is not exempt from all the difficulties known to man. So we say to fellow believers that God will also be with them. How important that is. So as we think about that aspect, our first missionary field is in our family. A husband must give testimony to his wife. He must share with her the gospel through life as it comes to him. A father must give testimony and bear witness to his children and young people the truth of the gospel, the reason for the hope that is in him, and keep sharing that. And keep on sharing so that they catch that. Our next witness is to our church family. Immediate family, church family, then to the world of others. And we have that mixed up today. As witness and evangelism is being taught, it's usually the other way around. Do you know that you could start a revolution? I'm thinking about July 4th and the Revolutionary War. There were individuals who stood up and started a revolution for freedom. And we live in a very similar kind of condition. We could start a revolution just by sharing the reason for the hope that is in us. A revolution against the ungodly corruption in our society. Be the first this morning to be willing to stand against. Be the first to be willing to give a reason for the hope that is in you, placed in you by the grace of God, through His election, the atonement of Christ, the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. We are special people. It's our calling. God is not trusting the gospel to government, to public education, which has become a failure. He's not trusting it to other people, he's trusting it to us, the Christians in this nation. And in spite of the onslaught of the atheists and the humanists and the secularists who are turning great laws around and who are changing things that the Constitution stood for, it is our calling to bear witness to the gospel. If we have a concern about our country and our society and our culture and the way things are going, what do? We bear witness to the gospel because it is the only thing that changes hearts and lives. So we take 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 this morning as the vital, essential calling in our life to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, which means putting Christ first and being ready, alert with our minds here, our hearts here, ready and willing to fulfill our calling and to give an answer for the reason for the hope that is in us. That's evangelism. That's witnessing. That's what we do. And everyone here and everyone in our church can do that. We have had enough Bible training. We have had enough doctrinal truth so that we are grounded in the Word of God. And we can, by the grace of God, share that truth. And asking God to cause us to be willing to care enough about the unbeliever and to care enough about our fellow Christian to encourage them with our testimony. May God cause this truth to live in our hearts this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, which brings us into contact with every subject we can think of. And here this morning we've been confronted with the thought of bearing witness, of sharing the gospel, of living in times of persecution and trial, so that the faith you've given us will be real. Help us then to be evangelists and to reach out and to give what you have given us. And may you bless this passage of Scripture and burn it into our hearts and enable us to live it out. To the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. In his name, amen.